T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
As I've done every step of my life, I'm just going to hit the ground running. You're going to find that I'm a hard worker. I'm humble. I just want to do what's best. It's not going to be my team. It's not going to be Sean's team. It's not going to be Terry's team and Ken's. It's going to be the whole Buffalo Bills, a collaborative approach. I think that's what wins. I've seen that in Carolina, and that's what you're going to see here. I know how strong of a fan base this is, and this is a football town, and that was one of the attractions to coming up here. And how exciting is it going to be when we get this thing turned around and get back in the playoffs and take it from there? So, you know, I'm really looking forward, you know, and as Terry and Ken, we talked about that. They've only been here a few years. I promise you, they're going to give us everything we can, and it's up to Sean and I and the rest of the team to get it back.
It is the new Bills general manager, Brandon Bean. Some of his comments from the press conference on Friday. He's with us on our AT&T hotline right now. We welcome him to the show here on WGR. Brandon, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning and belated welcome to town.
Good morning, guys. Excited to be here.
We appreciate you coming on with us this morning. Brandon, I want to ask you, I just started reading a piece. I have not read it entirely. MMQB, yeah, Peter King has a piece where he interviewed both you and Sean, and the Q&A is, he just tweeted a link out to a little bit earlier this morning. And I wanted to ask you about your relationship with Sean. You have a chance to be a GM in the National Football League, and I'm sure that's important for anybody who's an assistant GM or anybody in the front office. Would you have taken this job if Sean McDermott was not here as the head coach of the Bills?
Yeah, you know, obviously, that was the first part of your question. That was an attraction there, but that wasn't the only attraction. It wasn't like I'm only taking a job where Sean McDermott goes or anything like that. Once I got to meet the Pegulas and see their vision for this team and the resources that we talked about, and they want to win so bad. There was a lot of boxes that I needed to check when I went on this interview. And, you know, them as people and just the whole setup. I mean, I had a great deal in Carolina. I was next in line there. It had pretty much been conveyed to me. So it had to knock me out of the park, and it did.
When you were in Carolina, in a quiet moment, were you ever sat and thought about, you know, interviewing for a GM job? And what were the boxes you would have needed an owner, not necessarily the Pegulas, but for any team you would have interviewed for, what would be the most important boxes you would have needed checked to accept that GM job?
Well, you got to know that you have their backing. They're going to, you know, they're not going to hire you and then hamstring you and not let you do this. So you want to know what's the resources situation. Are they going to let you spend to the cap? I mean, there are teams that some of these things are not allowed. You know, just the facilities here, you know, are the players going to want to come here? You walk in this place, I mean, the food is excellent. The practice facilities are excellent. I mean, just all the technology, our draft room setup, it's a wow factor. It's a recruitment in itself just walking through this building. So it's a handful of things. Obviously, you want to know what the head coach situation is. Is that spot open? Am I filling it? Is it already there? If you don't fill that mesh, if there's a head coach that's already there and you're unsure, you know, in the interview process, if that's going to work, you don't want to do something that you're really unsure of at this level.
Was any part of the – was one of the boxes, not to say that you'd want anybody to lose their job, but was one of the boxes that you have checked, or was the job more attractive because you come in – with almost a blank canvas in terms of the football operations side of things? You got to go hire, you know, everybody in the front office and all the scouts pretty much.
Yeah, you know what? It is a very unique opportunity. And at first you're like, wow, what a daunting task. But at the same time, you get to build it the way you want to build it and bring in the people who you know from around the league that you've crossed paths with on the road, you know, talking, you know, on the phone, if it's trades or, you know, waiver transactions, whatever. So it's exciting as well. It's a lot of work, but at the end of the day, I think I'm going to love it by the time I, you know, put my handprint on this and get it set.
Brandon, what kind of a feel did you get for this job? And I know this is kind of you got to be delicate here in your answer, because the job was held by Doug Whaley. I mean, I think people knew that it didn't bode well for him, but he held the job. Having said that, when Sean takes the job here, and I'm assuming you guys stayed in touch with each other, at some point you might have realized I might have an opportunity in Buffalo. What kind of a feel did you get for everything? What was Sean telling you about things that had happened from January on as he took the position here?
So really, I sent Sean a congrats text. Sean and I were on a plane together back from the San Francisco 49ers interview, just the way they'd scheduled it. And on the way back to the airport, he got a text and then had to call his agent. And it sounded like by the time we got on that plane, things were progressing fast here for him for Buffalo. So I was very excited for him and his family to get this chance. You know, it's 1 of 32, you know, as a head coach or a GM. And I sent him a congrats text. He came back, he did his press conference, came back to Charlotte and gave him the old man hug. I'm happy for you. If Jamie needs anything or the kids, you let us know. We're here to help. But other than that, didn't talk to Sean until I saw him at the combine. And the funny thing was, they set up suites at the combine for, you know, for you to kind of during breaks between the 40s and the stuff. And lo and behold, the Bills suite was next to ours. So between breaks, I caught up with him. I knew some other coaches here, Danny Crossman, some of the other guys. So it was neat to see that. But to be honest with you, I was just asking him, how were things a month in? You know, you still love it? They treating you well? Kind of just the generic questions you would ask. After that, really didn't talk to Sean until this whole interview thing started.
Brandon Bean with us, Bill's new GM here on our AT&T hotline.
In terms of the type of team you want to put on the field, one of the things you had mentioned on Friday was you want to be tough to play against, run, stop the run, cold weather, Buffalo. You know, I think a lot of people have heard those words before in terms of building Bills teams, and myself included. Many wonder if we'll ever be a team that throws a lot. So, like, in terms of the way to win in the NFL today, is there a style of team that you ultimately see yourself building?
Well, listen, a lot of things in the game have changed. They really have. Obviously, it's more of a passing thing. You see that all the way down in youth sports. So everybody likes to throw the ball. But the fundamentals of the game have not changed. You got to be able to block, you got to be able to tackle, and you got to be able to run the ball. And that's kind of what I was getting to. I'm not saying that we're just going to go up here and hand the ball off 40 times, 3 yards in a cloud of dust all day. What I am saying is that you have to be able to do those fundamental principles, or at some point it will catch up with you. We want to be able to throw the ball. Ideally, we want to be able to do what the we want to be able to dictate to the defense what we're doing instead of them dictating to us. So if they want to stack the box, you know, I want to be able to say, hey, let's go. We're going to throw it on you. If they're worried about the passing game, now I want to run it down your throat. That's more what I was trying to explain on Friday.
When you look at your roster, you mentioned, you know, you got to do a little catch-up here, that you have some basic ideas of the roster, but, you know, you got to do a lot of homework and get to know everybody on the roster. The roster's pretty much set. You know, Brandon, I think sometimes if a GM gets hired, it might be in January, and you might be able to come in and start putting your stamp on the roster. That's not the case here. It's pretty much set. What's that like for you?
You know, that's different. Obviously, you always want to put, your stamp on it, especially if you see areas. The positive is I got to do this personnel thing right now, and so it would be probably a little double stressor if I was about to go into free agency and I don't even have a full staff, or the draft was almost here and I don't have any college scouts. So it is what it is. I'm fine with it. The ideal thing, I don't know what the exact ideal would be, but I get a chance to get to know these guys on film. I get to know them as players through the OTAs through here in June. And then I'm going to have a great feel by the time we get to training camp in August. And at that point, we'll be able to make moves through camp, the final 53 cut. So we're still going to be able to do some things to help improve this roster before opening day.
That's one of the things I was curious about. If you, again, typically if teams are going to make moves, they would have done, you know, when the league year starts, so forth and so on. Do you anticipate looking at the roster and then going to Sean and say, hey, you know, maybe we should move this guy out, or this is not the right fit, so forth and so on? Do you sit down now and look at contracts and think of possible cap cuts, or do you pretty much kind of just let things go?
Well, we're going to evaluate everything, and that those will all be discussions. Sean and I have had two preliminary discussions since I got here Friday about the roster, where he and his coaches think they have needs, I have my idea of a couple places I see needs, but that's fluid right now. Again, my first priority, and Sean's been great. He knows I'm working on getting the personnel staff hired. I was able to hire assistant GM Joe Shane yesterday, who's going to be a great asset to me and everybody here. So that's been priority number one, and it will be until I get the staff set. But we're always going to be looking, and we'll be looking this week. If there are guys on the waiver wire, we'll pay attention to it. If you know, and if we see a guy can be moved, if a team calls us about a guy that would help them and we think it's helpful to us, we'll definitely consider it.
I want to ask you about quarterback in a moment, but you mentioned Joe Shane. So, Brandon, what can you tell us about him? Why do you feel that was a guy you wanted to hire to work with the Bills?
Well, if you call around the league, Joe has an excellent name. He's a young riser is probably the best way I would describe him. Joe's a hard worker as well. He's had experience in different areas. He started in Carolina as a college scouting assistant, became an area scout. We didn't have any more, we didn't have any place to increase his role. And so the Miami Dolphins, when Jeff Ireland took over and Bill Parcells of that team in 2008, they made him a national scout, and then he worked his way up from there and did great things and just basically ended up moving 3 years ago to Miami. He was an area scout in Texas to become their director of player personnel, and he's done a great job. That team is, you know, obviously in our division. It's on the rise. That was another positive. He knows this division well, being in Miami, and, you know, anytime we can take from the Dolphins and help the Bills, that's a plus.
I was going to say, getting to know this division, once you get inside of it, you might not want to know it. It's been rough. A rough stretch.
Well, there's a reason jobs are open, but, we're excited about what we're doing here. As I said the other day, Rome's not built in a day. We're going to do it brick by brick or however you want to do it. We're going to build a solid foundation, and, there's better days ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm glad for you. I'm happy for you. But it's funny, Brandon, having, both of us been here and everybody around here so long. The other day you mentioned about the division. Like, the first thing you do is you shoot for the division title. And I'm sitting there going, what, are you kidding me? This thing's been locked up and in cement. It goes to Brady for the last 15 years. It's really hard to get past that.
No question, it is. And you have to give Bill Belichick and his staff, I mean, to do what they've done, Tom Brady, that's unprecedented. But you know what? That's the challenge. That's the excitement of the challenge. There's challenges all over the league, no matter what team you go to. This is a tough league. We see it every year. Teams from the bottom come up to the top, and vice versa. We saw that in Carolina. We went to the Super Bowl in 15, and last year we finished in last place in the division. You have to be ready to go every year, and we're going to build this thing, and we're excited for the challenge.
Speaking with Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean, quick question for you on, I mean, this is, I think fans, we do post game, we do Mondays through Friday. We react to decisions that are made on the field, whether it's throwing the challenge flag or going on fourth down, making the right decisions, the decisions that coaches have to make day to day. Will you guys have any sort of system, and they have the card for 2-point conversions. We have any sort of mindset you'll approach it with? You were there when Riverboat Ron became a thing. I'm not sure if that was overstated in your opinion, but the idea that there are ways to increase your odds of winning a game with key decisions. What will you and Sean do in terms of making sure that you're making the right play in situations like that?
Well, it's funny you say that. When I interviewed my first interview with the Pegulas, we talked about Sean. We got to talk about, I had a section in my book about, it's called The Right Head Coach. And obviously they already had a head coach, but you have to have that ready as a GM in case you walk into a situation where there is not a head coach. And the one thing I said, the box that I can't check on Sean yet, and it's not Sean's fault, is he hasn't coached, he hasn't been a head coach for a game yet, is game management. And I am, I'm overly probably OCD when I watch games on TV. I pay a lot of attention to what you're talking about, when to throw the challenge flag, when to not, when to call timeout, when to spike it, everything, when to go for two. And what I would do in Carolina is I would make notes, and I would go back and circle up with Ron Rivera. And if you called him, he would tell you the same thing. We had a lot of discussions, some of them passionate discussions. Sometimes I was defending a guy or saying, why did that coach do this? And he's defending him. And so – Sean and I are going to talk about that. We actually already I mentioned it to him as well, and he's got some things. We're gonna do a lot of little test runs before the season. He's got a game plan of how he's going to attack it. That'll be his area, but you know, I'll have conversations with him as I did with Ron Rivera in Charlotte.
It's funny, Jeremy and I were talking about that subject. You said test runs. We were bringing this up what, last week or the week before?
We asked McDermott.
Essentially,
about this too.
Simulator, like a pilot sitting down in a simulator. Or I don't know if you guys play Madden and you call up situations for him. How do you do test runs for a new head coach to get ready?
Well, what you do is, you know, one way. I'm not saying there's the only one. What you can do is pull up a game. And, you know, we could just pull up a Dolphins game or, a Patriots game or somebody in our division. And maybe, you know, we open up with the Jets. Maybe it's the Jets. And you predict. You figure out the situations, how many timeouts, what the score is, and you call a play and you don't know what's going to happen. And you sit there and go, okay, timeout, based on what happened. You go through it. You have your coordinators in the room as well, and you're talking about it. And then after the play, everybody discusses, all right, was that the right move to call timeout? Was that the right move to say spike it, clock it, whatever your call is? So that's how you do it. That's the only way you can do it. Obviously, when you get into training camp, you do some four-minute drills, some two-minute drills, and that's where you talk to the players about game situations. It'll be very important for, you know, whoever the quarterback, but if Tyrod wins the job or, you know, or whoever it is, for them to be on the same page as Sean and Rick Dennison. So, and defensively with Leslie Frazier. So there's a lot of ways to do it. Over prep is probably the best way to do it, but there's nothing like game day. So you can only simulate so much, but I have a lot of confidence that Sean is prepared. He's so detailed and regimented in how he prepares for everything. I know he's going to be up for the challenge.
Yeah, the lack of game days makes it tough to actually practice this so often. In your experience with Ron Rivera, did you find that you had an impact on the way that he thought the game or saw the game at all? I mean, obviously, he's been around for a long time as well, and you say that you might have disagreements, but were you able to, or you one of, a few that might have been a driving force behind starting to think the game and think game management a little differently over there?
Well, the great thing about Ron is a listener. I think Sean has that's a great trait to have. We all should be good listeners. And I think Ron was always, he liked scenarios. I feel Sean's going to be similar in that way too, just talking through things. So it wasn't that I was always right or he was always right. It was more just putting it out in the air and let's talk through it. And maybe there's something in a scenario that when I watched a game on TV that I brought to him, or maybe something that happened in our game that I was unaware of. So they were all just ongoing discussions. I think open dialogue and discussing it and having candid conversations is the best way to handle, you know, things like that.
I guess one shorter way for me to ask this is, would you consider yourself someone who challenges conventional thinking?
At the right time. Not, I don't just challenge it to challenge it, but I am always I pride myself, I would say, on understanding the game and understanding game management situations. And one of the things I've said for years is more games are lost than won in this league. You know, mm-hmm. on a stupid timeout or, you know, a poor time to challenge based on the situation. You cost yourself your last timeout and you really didn't really gain that much for it. Things like that. So there are a lot of critical decisions. Every game comes down to about 3 to 5 plays. So you have to be prepared. Obviously, you're not going to bat 1,000. There's going to be times when, you know, we're going to look back after a game and say, well, in hindsight, maybe we could have done X or Y. But if you, you know, just in baseball, if you bat a high average, you'll win more than you lose.
You said if Tyrod's the starting quarterback, is that, I'm going to be blunt, is that really? I mean, is it at all possible he isn't? Or is that just one of those things where if you're going to preach competition at every spot, you just don't say it's Tyrod's job?
Well, I'm new here. I met Tyrod the other day. Obviously, I've seen Tyrod on film. If we walked out there today, I would say Tyrod's probably the starter, but we haven't even gone through OTAs. We got the young guy Peterman. I thought he did some nice things this weekend at the mini camp. Cardell Jones has a huge arm and talent. I don't know anything about him personally. TJ Yates has done some starting in his career. So there are some guys on this roster, you know, I'm for open competition. Sean is. Earn the right you know, for whatever job you have, whatever position you're trying to get. So, you know, I'm not in the business of handing out positions, you know, on May the 15th. We got a long way to go. It's going to be fun. I'm excited about the challenge. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, I got a lot of belief in Tyrod, but, you know, we got other guys that are going to challenge for that as well.
Brandon, before we let you go, on quarterback, you know, that spot has been a sore spot around here for a long, long time. You didn't have that problem. You said the other day when you asked about Tyrod, you said you didn't really have to look for quarterbacks in Carolina. You had Cam Newton, so you didn't have to worry about it. The thing I'm curious about is, look, you have a top-level quarterback. You have a much better chance of winning, making the playoffs, competing for a Super Bowl, all that stuff. How do you get the top-level quarterback here? In Carolina, you ended up at the top of the draft, and you got Cam Newton. How does one come into a situation like this, where they've been searching for a quarterback for 20 years now, and get a top-level quarterback?
Well, you know, the draft is generally where you get a top-level quarterback. If you look back, most of the guys, other than Drew Brees' situation, you know, where they drafted over him with Phillip Rivers and let him go, and he had the shoulder injury. You know, generally speaking, Manning, Brady, you know, Manning for all those years, and it was just an injury, and it worked out where they get Andrew Luck. If Andrew Luck doesn't fall in the Colts' lap, you know, Manning would have finished his career in Indy. They would have never let him go. Brady in New England, Aaron Rodgers. Generally speaking, you're going to have to find your quarterback through the draft. Doesn't mean you can't find it somewhere else. And listen, we're going to look at every avenue to do that, but if you just look at history, I'd be lying if I didn't say you need to draft one.
Every year? Mm. Does it make sense to keep drafting one every year and just keep trying?
No, I mean, you don't just draft them to draft them. You got to believe in them. You got to have some, you know, I'm not just going to stand up here with a blindfold and throw darts, you know, and hope I hit something. We're going to do our homework and our research every year until we find one. Obviously, when we found Cam in Carolina, we didn't put as much emphasis, you know, in focusing on that in the draft. We have a guy. We'll look for guys, you know, who's going to be the best backup. You know, they have Derek Anderson, who was a seasoned guy who was perfect for Cam. But, yeah, until we feel like we are 100% set at quarterback, we're going to be turning over every stone to find that position and hopefully find a franchise guy at some point.
And finally, the most important question that everyone's been waiting for, the follow-up to the revelation that your favorite television show, you told Lauren Hall, your favorite television show was Who's the Boss?
Yeah.
Which, I got to be honest, Brandon, that was a heck of an answer. The Boss?
They gave me about 3 seconds on each answer, but, I loved Alyssa Milano when I was growing up, so that was probably a jaded view. I had a big crush on her, and I thought Tony Danza was outstanding. But if I was a later show, the show I forgot was Modern Family.
Okay, that's good. I like
that's
that.
That's a classic show, but yep. I think I folded a little bit under the pressure, and I went, okay, Alyssa Milano was hot, so we'll just go with that.
See, I told you it was about Alyssa Milano.
I'm not saying it was the wrong answer. I was just I did not expect it. Maybe you didn't either until after you said it.
No, it was 90% Alyssa Milano, 10% Tony Danza, but that was a fun little segment. We had some laughs doing that.
So your favorite football movie was Rudy. And
yeah.
And I wanted to ask you, is it because it was just a really cool movie, or was it one of those, the message, you know, the team is there and we're handing in our jerseys for Rudy? Was it just, hey, it was a cool movie, or was it the theme behind the movie?
He's trying to get a window into your soul.
Into your soul, that's right. Like, is this a football guy who says, that's the kind of team I want, they're in it for a collaborative effort, that's why I like the movie?
Well, obviously, you know, you love a story like that. I think part of it was true. You know, there's all sorts of movies out there that are fiction. I think the thing that, you know, I used to watch that thing, and I'd get chills up my spine every time. I'm getting chills up my spine right now. They would start chanting, Rudy, Rudy, and the whole thing. And just for a guy that had all the odds against him, and people just, you know, appreciated him for what he did and what he brought to the team. And was he helping the team on game day? Heck yeah. Was he out on the field? No. He helped him by busting his butt every day. He set an example. And that's the type of guy that Sean and I want. It's not always going to be the best athlete at the position. We want guys that do everything the right way all the time, and they can show others how to do it. So there was, you know, a hidden message in that. But Rudy, for whatever reason, you know, maybe, as I said, because it was a true story, you know, based on a true story, I absolutely loved that he never gave up. he lived out his dream. And, you know, he always wanted to run out of that tunnel for the Irish.
Yeah, you get chills. I always reach for the box of tissues. You know, when he's out there on the field and the dad's watching him, it's just too much for me. So,
yeah, well, I was, you know, that's when I'm like rubbing my eye real quick, like something. You know, no, I'm not crying over here.
No,
it's just my allergies are.
Is my wife? Is she cooking? Is she making onions in the kitchen? What is going on over there?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All too manly to try to show
her
crying watching Rudy. But,
that's right.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Brandon, thanks. We kept you on a long time. We appreciate you giving us the extended time here this morning. Congratulations again on the job, and of course, the best of success in putting things together over there.
Thanks so much, and I appreciate you guys having me on.
That would be Brandon Bean, the new general manager of the Buffalo Bills, joining us on the AT&T hotline. I knew it was Alyssa Milano.
It's a safe guess.
Yeah, it's really. It's as opposed to Tony Danza, Judith Light.
I still think it's a heck of an answer.
I never would have. If you asked me, I never would have come up. You could have given me a gazillion choices. I don't know if I've ever would have reached who's the boss for that answer for him. Interesting.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.